You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production. The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Imquinto Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it. Yes, indeed. A very good morning, boys and girls. How are we this morning? Welcome to a Thursday morning. Yes, Thursday the 16th of June. It is The Breakfast Show. I'm Jerry D. Time right now, we're just about a minute and a half after the hour six, and I'm going to be sitting here for the next 4 hours, hopefully keeping you entertained for what it is you're going to be doing on this Thursday. Take a quick look at some of the things relevant to today's date. Let's go to the year 1883. The New York Giants baseball team admitted all ladies for free to the ballpark. It was the first ladies' day. 1884, at Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York, the first roller coaster in America is opened. And in 1890, the second Madison Square Gardens, well, that opened as well.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Thank you.
with Jerry D.
Two in a row, starting off this Thursday morning, and she was. That was the first one. That was by the American band Talking Heads, 1985, came off of their album, which was called Little Creatures. A song was written by David Bryan, who also provided the lead vocals on there as well. Reached number 54 on the US Billboard Hot 100 and number 17 on the British Singles Chart. And following on from that, well, that was Rock the Casbah. That was by the English punk rock band The Clash, released in 1982. And a second single, in fact, from their fifth album, which was called Combat Rock, reached number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in the US. Their second, by the way, and last top 40, and only top 10 single in the United States. And along with the track Mustafa Dance, it also reached number 8 on the dance chart as well. How about that then? 11 minutes right now after the hour, 6 o'clock. The Thursday morning. Almost there.
Wake up.
Set and it must have been love, and it's all over now. Not on here, it isn't. No, it isn't. We're 15 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show, and I'm going to be with you right through till 10 o'clock this morning, so I do hope you can hang around. But it is that time. It is that time to get you on your way, and wherever it is you're going this morning, get you smelling nice, ready to meet the public. Right, what have I got for you in the shower this morning? Who remembers Phyllis Hyman? You know how to love me.
The real
Now, there's a good one for you in the shower on this Thursday morning. Phyllis Hyland's, I mentioned that time, to get you out. There we go. Oh, that's much better. Dry yourself off. Get yourself ready to go off. There we go. To Love Me, a song by Reggie Lewis, natural fact, and James Mloom, most notably recorded there by Phyllis Hyman and released on Hyman's fourth studio album of the same name. Great 1970s, well, late 1970s disco released in 1979. Now, the song released, in the disco era is one of Phyllis Hyman's most successful releases. You Know How to Love Me, it peaked at number 6 on the disco chart, becoming her biggest hit on that chart. While the single did not place on the Hot 100. Oh, peaked at number 12 on the Hot Soul singles, though. So there we go. Here's another one to get you going. The Hughes Corporation and Rock the Boat.
So I'd like to know where you got the notion.
I don't take the boat for a
rock the boat.
I don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Ever since our voyage of love began, your touch has thrilled me like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Love is like a ship on the ocean. We've been sailing with a cargo full of love and devotion.
So I'd like to know where you got the notion. Said I'd like to know where you got the notion.
Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Storm. And I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
I tell you what, that one nearly didn't make it, you know. Rock the Boat, that's the from the American trio, the Hughes Corporation. It was written by a guy called Wally Holmes, and Rock the Boat was first released on their 1973 debut studio album, Freedom for the Stallion. And the single Edit Later appeared on certain editions of the band's 1974 second album, which was called Rockin' Soul. Released the third single from that album as early as 1974, the follow-up to Stallion's title song, which had peaked at number 63 on the Hot 100, and Miracle Maker, Sweet Soul Shaker, which did not chart at all. Well, initially, Rock the Boat, it appeared as though it would also flop, as months went by without any radio airplay or sales activity. It wasn't until the song became a disco favourite in New York, the likes of Studio 54 got it going. It became a top 40 hit. Well, radio, top 40 radio stations finally picked it up, and leading the record to, yes, get there, entered the Hot 100 and zipped up the chart to number one in the week of July the 6th of 1974. It's only in its seventh week on the chart, and fourth week in the top 40. A record also reached the top 10, where in the United Kingdom as well. 24 after 6. She does, you know. Debbie Harry and I Want That Man. I tell you, I'm going to squeeze one more in, take us down to the bottom of the hour. It's Elton John together with Taron Egerton and I'm Gonna Love Me Again. And again. And again.
Fortune's not It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
It's breakfast time.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
I dug that one. I haven't played that for a long time. It's breakfast time. Go and get yourself something to eat. It's 31 and a half minutes. Yes, 31 and a half minutes after 6 o'clock this morning. Quickly, just a look at some of the local news. We will be looking at this a little bit later on in more detail. Starting off with the epidemiological report of yesterday, Wednesday. A new death that was reported corresponding to the last 24 hours due to COVID-19. In addition, the Ministry of Health clarified that one of a previous day, a death from a previous day, was updated for a cumulative total now, 8,314 deaths. Fatality percentage, that remains at 0.9%. There are 2,080 new positive cases yesterday. 11,133 tests were applied in the country. Positivity percentage, 18.7%. Now, active cases, they're totaling 21,130. Of those, 20,853 are in isolation. 277 are hospitalised. Those that are in isolation, they're divided into 20,820 in their homes and 33 in the so-called hospital hotels. Those hospitalised, 243 in the wards and 34 in the intensive care units. Now, we've mentioned it before, but the next decision that the government must make in handling the COVID-19 disease pandemic is whether to eliminate the mandatory use of the mask in closed or indoor services. Well, more news on that. Now, on the subject, the Minister Councillor for Health, this is Ira Ruiz, said that the use of the mask as a preventative measure could be eliminated in the not-so-distant future. Depending on specific criteria such as the number of patients in intensive care units and the number of deaths. It's not the number of cases that stops us, because it can be as if it were a mild respiratory infection like the flu. It is that there are patients in intensive care, people who get complications, people who continue to die, she said. So, a bit of hope there. More information on that later on. The Superior Court of Appeals confirmed on the morning of Wednesday the decision of the compliance judge who ordered José Luis Saiz to serve a 47-month prison sentence, revealed the Superior Prosecutor Anilu Batista. Saiz, who was convicted of money laundering, had an effective collaboration and penalty agreement with the Special Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office. It was validated by the court. However, he did not comply with the payment of the entire assigned fine, and it looks as if he is now going to be going to serve his sentence in jail. In the last month, the Public Works Ministry has intervened in three tenders due to complaints filed by participating companies criticising the performance of commissioners appointed to review economic proposals. Last Monday, the 13th of June, the Ministry of Public Works Minister, Rafael Sabonge, ordered the total annulment of the analyses carried out on the proposals received by the institution in the tender for the rehabilitation of 12.1 kilometres between the Centenario Bridge and the bridge located before the community of Gamboa on the banks of the Panama Canal. Sabonge's decision comes after three of the participants in the tender, which had a reference price of $11.2 million, express their dissatisfaction. Sabonge commented that the commissioners have independent evaluation criteria. In some cases, due to the profile of the commissioners, they can give their opinion in one way or another, and many times the support of the proponents is strong enough in their observations to request a new evaluation. And there's a list of another couple of projects that Mr. Sabonge has intervened on. After a meeting held on Tuesday, the cleaning workers who remained on a work stoppage decided to return to work. This was stated by the Minister of Health, Luis Francisco Sucre. We reached some agreement on Tuesday night, giving answers to the workers, where it was agreed to lift the strike yesterday, Minister Sucre announced in statements to TVN Noticias. Sucre said that many of the points that the workers were requesting were agreed upon, such as salary adjustments, the rapid delivery of equipment and uniforms, as well as compactor trucks. The director of the Institute for the Training and Use of Human Resources, IFARU, Bernardo Meneses, had no intention of responding in writing to the request for information that, based on Law 6 of 2002, which dictates rules for transparency in public management, presented the independent deputy, Gabriel Silva, this week to know the amounts and the names of the people awarded scholarships by the entity. So more information on that. It seems to be the fact that they like to spend our money, but don't like to tell us on what. The Ministry of the Environment, Mi Ambiente, rejected the appeal for reconsideration presented by the developer company, LGS Panama Tourism Development. This is to carry out the Amador Maritime Development Project. The appeal was filed by the company after Mi Ambiente, after carrying out an evaluation process, rejected the Category 3 environmental impact study for this landfill project on the 13th of May. Environment Minister Milciades Concepcion said that the company was called to be notified last week. More information on that, of course. At least 23 people have been arrested recently for allegedly integrating a criminal structure dedicated to drug trafficking and money laundering. The so-called Operation Fortaleza has been carried out in different points of the provinces of Veraguas, Herrera, Chiriquí. This is an operation carried out by personnel from the Drug Prosecutor's Office in conjunction with the National Police, which has included nearly 30 raids. Not good news, I'm afraid. The gallon of 95-octane gasoline, that's going to increase 53 cents. The 91-octane is going to increase 42 cents, and the gallon of diesel will rise 63 cents as of this Friday, 17th of June, yes, mañana, according to the prices released by the National Energy Secretariat. In litres, 95-octane gasoline is going to increase by 14 cents, 91 gasoline by 11 cents, and low-sulfur diesel is going to increase by 16 cents per litre. The Federico Guardia Conte water treatment plant in Chilibre will reduce its production by 50% this Saturday. This is due to the interconnection works of the Aguas Claras suction tank to the new module as part of the expansion project, reported the National Aqueduct and Sewer Institute, IDAN. Now, according to the entity, the project is expected to contribute 15 million gallons per day to the water treatment plant. Through a statement, the IDAN stressed that the recovery of the system is not immediate, since the supply will be restored progressively from the moment the work is completed. And that's it. That's what we're looking at later on in more detail. That one about the water pressure, etc. We've got a list in later on in the main local news, listing the places that will be affected the most. Probably it would have been better if they listed the places that weren't going to be affected at all. That's it. The time is 21 minutes before 7 o'clock.
Jump back. talk about love. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about love.
Better than coffee.
We would hide, count the stars.
they're back, you know. OKOTB. Oh, Kids on the Block. I love that song. And that is Bring Back the Time. And that's featuring On Vogue. It's featuring Salt and Pepper. And Rick Ashley's in there as well. There we go. Okay. No, we're not going to play it again. Not now. And before that, we had The Hurting Kind from Robert Plant. Time on The Breakfast Show, 13 minutes right now before the hour of 7 o'clock. Top of the hour, we're going to take a look at some of the international news for this Thursday morning. International business news, take a look at some of that at around about 7.30. And in between the two, we will take a look at the weather. Looking out the studio window right now, cloudy, a little bit like yesterday. So with a bit of luck, we're going to have some sun breaking through a little bit later on. Did you see the moon last night? It was really nice. It was a little bit of a cloud run. I got a couple of pictures with that silver lining on the clouds. Looks absolutely lovely.
Here we go. Stargate. Another short fly hit.
We get it on just every night.
Naming yourself out of a washing machine. Top loader there. Dancing in the moonlight. Time on The Breakfast Show. We're 9 minutes away from the top of the hour. 7 o'clock. It is Thursday. Dr. Computer is going to be joining us a little bit later on at in the 8 o'clock hour. So talking tech with Alex. Tell you more about what we're going to be talking about. Talking tech, I was just taking a little rummage, as I do, around the internet. And found a little story here about Elon Musk and his go-to lawyer, a guy called Alex Spiro, a brash 39-year-old litigator has helped Musk defeat a defamation suit and has been working behind the scenes for the billionaire as he tries to buy Twitter. Well, Musk and lawyers apparently don't really seem to mix. Just ask the law firm that lost work from Musk's companies after refusing to fire a lawyer that Musk didn't like. But it seems that Spiro is different. He's made a name for himself representing professional athletes and rappers, from NBA star Thabo Sefolosha to hip-hop mogul Jay-Z, Randy Zellin, a defense lawyer who has taught at Cornell Law School, called him as real as you get. Some lawyers will stab you in the back, Zellin said. Spiro, he'll stab me in the chest. I wouldn't mind one of those. Don't know what I use him for, but it sounds cool, doesn't it? Right, it's time on The Breakfast Show. Keep an eye on the time. 7.5 minutes exactly before the hour of 7 o'clock here on 89.3 Cool FM. Sit back and relax for a minute with Bruno Mars, Anderson .Paak.
I look too good to be alone. Ooh. My house clean. My pool warm. Just shake.
Smooth like a newborn.
We should be dancing, romancing in the East Wing.
That's it. Leave the door open. Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak there, here on The Breakfast Show. Well, we're 3.5 minutes away from the top of the hour.
If you want it, you can have it. But you gotta learn to reach out there and grab it. Cause everybody wants to know.
That was Weezer, and simply called Photograph, and that was it. Time on The Breakfast Show for this.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usted encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alorica. Panamá.
Fast and safe. Ship internationally to more than 220 countries and territories with DHL Express. Exporting or importing documents and packages has never been easier with blazing speeds and special promotions. Come visit our retail locations where packaging solutions from half a kilo up to 25 kilos are included at no additional cost. DHL Express. Excellent and simply delivered. Conditions apply.
What's up, what's up? Your car won't start, you can't travel and breaks your heart. Valet Motors will fix it or get the parts. Just call 6431-0419 and your car will be fine with Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
And the time on The Breakfast Show is exactly 1 minute. That's after the hour of 7 o'clock this morning. It is Thursday, 16th of June, and you've just joined us. A very good morning to you. We're just about to take a look at some of the international news for this Thursday morning. The leaders of Germany, France and Italy, all criticised in the past by Kiev for support viewed as too cautious, made a joint visit to Ukraine on Thursday, touring a town devastated by Russia's invasion. It's an important moment. It's a message of unity that we're sending to Ukrainians, French President Emmanuel Macron said after pulling into Kiev on an overnight train, along with Germany's Olaf Scholz and Italy's Mario Draghi. They were also joined by Romanian President Klaus Iohannis. They walked amid the ruined buildings of the Ukrainian town of Liepin on Thursday to show a support which the Kiev government hopes will be followed by concrete action to help it in the war with Russia. Irpin, which had a pre-war population of about 62,000, was one of the main hotspots of fighting with Russian troops before they pulled back from Ukraine's northern regions to intensify their offensive in the east. And France wants a military Ukrainian victory against Russia that re-establishes the territorial integrity of the country, including Crimea, that was seized by Russia in 2014, a French diplomatic source said on Thursday. The source added that it was up to the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, to define what a military victory could be. The United States government has pushed new increasing funding into three technology companies since the start of the Ukraine conflict to help Russians sidestep censors that access Western media, according to five people familiar with the situation. The financing effort is focused on three firms that build virtual private networks, VPNs. This is Northlink, Siphon, and Lantern, and is designed to support a recent surge in their Russian users, the sources have said. And Russia, supported by Belarus, Central African Republic, and Kyrgyzstan and Mali, have torpedoed a Western-backed proposal to discuss whether its diamonds are funding war ahead of an international conflict diamond meeting in Botswana, letters seen by Reuters have shown. The rift in the Kimberley process, which certifies rough diamond exports, risks paralyzing the body, which makes decisions by consensus. The letters, which have not been previously reported, show a dispute over a proposal by Ukraine, the European Union, Australia, Britain, Canada, and the United States to discuss Russia's invasion of Ukraine and whether to broaden the KP's definition of conflict diamonds to include state actors as its June 2024 meeting in Botswana. Police have found human remains in their search for British journalist Dom Phillips and Brazilian indigenous expert Bruno Pereira after a suspect confessed to killing them in the Amazon rainforest, investigators said on Wednesday. The suspect, a fisherman who had clashed with Pereira over his efforts to combat illegal fishing in indigenous territory, led police to a remote burial site where the remains were unearthed. Detective Edward Fontes told a news conference. North Korea reported an outbreak of an unidentified intestinal epidemic in a farming region on Thursday, putting further strain on the isolated country as it battles chronic food shortages and a wave of COVID-19 infections. Leader Kim Jong-un sent medicines to the western port city of Haeju on Wednesday to help patients suffering from the acute enteric epidemic, state news agency KCNA said, without giving the number affected or identifying the disease. Britain has no plans to leave the European Convention on Human Rights, but the Strasbourg court, which enforces it, overstepped its powers in blocking the deportation of asylum seekers to Rwanda, Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab said on Thursday. The government was thwarted in its attempt to send a handful of migrants on a charter plane more than 4,000 miles to Rwanda on Tuesday after the European Court of Human Rights stepped in to issue injunctions cancelling the flight. Dominic Raab, who is also Britain's Justice Secretary, criticised the Strasbourg-based court for essentially blocking the flight, part of a policy which London says will stem the flow of migrants making dangerous trips across the English Channel from France. And here's one to brighten your spirits. A video of a dancing Brazilian stripper interrupted a virtual public hearing of Peruvian President Pedro Castillo's corruption investigation on Wednesday. They are showing very suggestive images, prosecutor Samuel Rojas said, as the footage of the male stripper, Ricardo Milos, appeared on screens during the hearing. The unexpected content appeared as Rojas was outlining the reasons why Castillo should be investigated. The hearing was being publicly broadcast on the judiciary branch's television channel, with the offending clip, by the way, later being shared widely on Twitter. There you go. How things get around so quickly, doesn't it? That's it. That's our look. That's some of those things in the international news this morning. Time on The Breakfast Show is 7 minutes. That's after the hour of 7 o'clock.
Yeah. radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here.
Right now.
You know, there's so many ways that you can be listening to Cool FM. You can be doing it on your radio on 89.3, of course. Carabao Carbleonda on channel 866. Your Grada radio app on your smartphone. Or you could just be checking us out on your smart speaker. Doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it.
The coolest station online.
Yeah, that's us.
'Cause we play
this.
There we go. First of those two was See My Baby Jive. That came from the UK band Wizard. And following on there, that is Bronski Beat, another band out of the UK, with Jimmy Somerville taking the leads on that one. And that was Small Town Boy. Right, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm just going to get it up on my screen here in front of me. We're going to take a look and see what is happening with the weather for today. I've got Mary Lou's weather report for this morning. And good morning to Mary Lou. Also good morning to Renee, with us bright and breezy this morning. And Mary Lou says, it's already started to rain. She says, sprinkling, very light, but it's still rain. Yes, it is. Let's take a look, shall we, and see what is in store for us for this Thursday. We're going to start, as we do, over there in the province of Colón with Costa Rica, with 30 degrees being their maximum temperature today and 23 being their minimum. 35 degrees Celsius will be the thermal sensation over there, with 80% relative humidity. Chance of a few showers during the course of this morning, isolated showers in the afternoon, and isolated showers tonight as well. Moving across the isthmus to west Panama, we're looking at 31 degrees Celsius being the maximum temperature and 23 being the minimum. 36 degrees Celsius will be the thermal sensation, relative humidity. That's a little bit, certainly a little bit lower than on the other side over there in Costa Rica, 77% relative humidity. Chance, partially cloudy for this morning. In the afternoon, chance of some isolated rains with thunderstorms, and tonight we're back to isolated showers. For us here in the metropolitan area, we've got 31 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature, with 24, the minimum. 36 degrees, the thermal sensation, relative humidity, same as West Panama, 77%. Isolated showers this morning, isolated showers this afternoon, and partially cloudy tonight. And let's move out into the Gulf of Panama, up by the Perlis Islands, see what's happening out there. 30 degrees Celsius is the maximum temperature, 25 degrees the minimum, 35 degrees Celsius the thermal sensation, with 80% relative humidity. A few showers during the course of this morning, partially cloudy in the afternoon, and isolated showers tonight. So there are, there's our forecast. Now, moving on to maritime conditions, we're going to start with the tides for Thursday today. High tide, this is on the Pacific Ocean, Pacific Coast. High tide, that was at 4:59 this morning, just before 5 o'clock. That was a 5.15-metre high tide. Low tide will be at 11:05 this morning, and that'll be 0.03 of a metre. High tide again, 5:14 in the afternoon, and that'll be 5.27 metres, way up there over the 5-metre mark. That's 17 feet and 3 inches, by the way. Low tide, the last one, 11:34 tonight, and that'll be -0.4 of a metre. On the Caribbean, high tide, that was at 1:23 this morning, that was 0.46 of a metre. The low tide will be at 9:46. That'll be -0.18 of a metre. High tide again, 4:51 in the afternoon, 0.06 of a metre. And the last low tide, believe it or not, at 5:58. There's not much time difference, is there, between the high and low tide. I'll tell you what, there's no difference at all in the height, because that is also 0.06 of a metre, exactly the same as the high tide. Now, let's take a look and see what is happening with regards to the sea conditions. Starting off on the Caribbean coast, we're looking at good conditions, no advisory for you. Winds are going to be 5 to 20 kilometres an hour, coming in from the south-southeast, and waves at 2 feet. That's for this morning. For this afternoon, let's take a look. Good conditions are continuing. Not much change, 10 to 25 kilometres an hour coming from the south-southwest in the afternoon, waves at 2 feet. On the Pacific, what's in store for us over here? Good conditions this morning. Winds are the same, 5 to 20 kilometres an hour coming from the southeast, waves just 1 foot. In the afternoon, good conditions are continuing. 10 to 30 kilometre an hour winds coming from the south, so that's picking up a little bit, and the waves are going to double in size, because they're going to go from 1 foot to 2 feet. And that's it. There's your weather.
Dance. seem so without your touch. And where do I begin? No words can explain the way I'm missing you tonight. The suits, they tell their own story. Told me not to cry when you were gone. But the feeling's overwhelming, it's much too strong. Can I?
Lay Me Down, and that is Sam Smith, following on from Michael Jackson, featuring Justin Timberlake on that trick, and it never felt so good. Time on the Breakfast Show, if you are keeping your eye on the time, we're 29 and a half minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, so we're going to take a look at some of the international business news for Thursday morning. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday approved its largest interest rate increase in more than a quarter of a century to stem a surge in inflation that U.S. central bank officials acknowledge may be eroding public trust in their power and being driven by events seen increasingly out of their hands. The widely expected move raised the target federal funds rate by 0.75 percentage point to a range of between 1.5% and 1.75%, still comparatively low by historic standards. London stock indices fell on Thursday as investors braced for the fifth interest rate hike by the Bank of England in its quest to combat inflation, nearing double digits, while a profit warning by online fashion retailer ACOS hit the retail sector. The FTSE 100 index slipped by 1.4%, weighed down by 2% decline in shares of British American Tobacco and Shell. home builder Persimmon and asset manager Intermediate Capital slumped 8% and 6.4% respectively to the bottom of the index as their shares traded ex-dividend. The domestically focused mid-cap FTSE 250 index, that declined 1.6%. ASOS, as we mentioned, PLC, plunged 22.8% as it warned of profit forecast miss after a significant rise in product returns as inflationary pressure impacted its 20-something customers. Rival Boohoo dropped to 15.1% as it reported an expected fall in revenue in its largest quarter, reflected higher production returns or product returns and a tough year-over-year comparison. The broader retailers index shed 4.8%. Now, this probably throws more potential on the consumer outlook, but analysts' earnings forecast maybe haven't quite adjusted to the more challenging macro outlook. Added to that, central banks are in a tightening mood pretty much everywhere, which is an unhelpful combination for equity markets. Ian Williams, economist and strategist at Peel Hunt, is quoted as saying. Oil prices eased early gains to head lower on Thursday, a day after a fall triggered by a US interest rate hike, although tight supply limited losses. Now, Brent crude futures were down 45 cents or 0.4% to $118.06 a barrel by 9:06 GMT time, while US West Texas Immediate WTI crude futures, they fell 44 cents to $114.87, also off 4%. Both contracts broadly stayed within the previous session's range. Prices slipped more than 2% overnight after the Federal Reserve raised its key interest rate by 0.75%, the biggest, as we said, since 1994. Investors remain focused on tight supplies as Western sanctions restricted access to Russian oil. In Libya, oil output has collapsed to 150,000 barrels per day, a spokesman for the oil ministry said on Tuesday, a fraction of the 1.2 million barrels per day seen last year. That is hitting already tight supply, while the International Energy Agency said that it expects demand to rise further in 2023, growing by more than 2% to a record of 101.6 million barrels per day. Optimism that China's oil demand will rebound as it eases COVID-19 restrictions is also supporting the price outlook. Looking into next year, there's a clear deficit in supply, while a recession could yet come along to change this. The current setup remains bullish for the oil price and oil stocks, Bernstein analyst said in a note. US crude stocks and distillate inventories rose while gasoline inventories fell in the week through June the 10th. The Energy Information Administration is quoted as saying. Russian gas supply to Europe fell further on Thursday, sparking concerns about refilling storage for winter and igniting a diplomatic tussle as Russian supplier Gazprom blamed Western sanctions for hampering maintenance work. The drop in supply comes as the leaders of Germany, Italy and France visit Ukraine under pressure to provide Kiev more weapons for its war with Russia and back its bid to join the European Union. On Thursday, Gazprom announced a second cut to supply in as many days along the Nord Stream 1 pipeline to Germany, slashing flows to just 40% of capacity. Germany's economy minister said that the move was aimed at sowing uncertainty and pushing up energy prices. Dutch wholesale gas prices, the European benchmark, jumped up by 25% on Thursday morning. Gazprom blamed the cuts on delayed delivery of Siemens energy equipment undergoing maintenance in Canada. Germany's energy regulator rejected that explanation. And lastly, some good news. Well, if you're a Lego fan, toy maker Lego on Wednesday said that it will invest more than $1 billion in a factory in the United States to shorten supply chains and keep up with growing demand for its colored plastic bricks in one of its biggest markets. The factory in Chesterfield County in Virginia will be the Danish company's second in North America and seventh worldwide after it announced a new factory in Vietnam last year. So there you go. That's it. Let's go. Let go. You know, got $1 billion invested. Time on the breakfast show, 23 minutes. That is before the hour of... That's before the hour of 8 o'clock.
Ain't enough to say that I think of you. Words can never do the things that I need them to. Dream is just a dream, and I don't wanna sleep.
That is the Purple Disco Machine, and that was called In the Dark. And in actual fact, it was the Purple Disco Machine together with Sophie and the Giants. Yeah, there we go. You had to squeal across there because I knew it was the Purple Disco Machine. Anyway, I tell you, the one before that, Jesse Ware, love that track. That's called Spotlight. Time right now, we are about 15 and a half minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Don't forget, joining us in the last hour, well, not the last hour, in the next hour, we'll obviously be checking in with Ingrid for our Everyday Story of Country Folk. Also, Dr. Computer will be with us. And today he is going to be talking about the, it says here, the M2 chip of Apple and the new MacBook Air. So he's going to be chatting to us about that. That's Dr. Computer, Alex Newman. We'll no doubt throw in some other little topics as well. If you've got a question, by the way, a computer-oriented question or anything to do with technology, drop a little line to us on our WhatsApp number, 677-188-22, 677-188-22, and I'm sure Alex will be happy to answer any questions that you have. Let's take a look at some relevant to today's date in the world of entertainment, or to do with entertainment. It is the 16th of June, and on the 16th of June, back in the year 1989 it was. Yeah, Smokey Robinson's not that old. In 1989, Smokey Robinson introduced a new woman's fragrance. I don't think it was called this. This is Smokey Robinson. Baby a Go-Go. Tell you what, that one is in my playlist. There's Smokey Robinson, Baby a Go-Go. I thought that doesn't sound like Smokey Robinson. It's Barbara McNair and Baby a Go-Go. She must have been his first customer for that woman's fragrance. But I tell you what, it was probably so popular you had to shop around for it.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. But my mama told me, you better shop around. Shiver and the wind's gonna blow now. The women
The tracks you remember. It's Jerry D and The Breakfast Show.
There we go, two in a row. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles and Shop Around. Followed on there, that's Diana Ross and the Supremes and Love Child. If you are keeping an eye on the time on this morning's show, we're 6 minutes right now, exactly before the hour of 8 o'clock. And don't forget, top of the hour, we are going to take a look at the some of the local news for you.
Cry no more. once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say, carry on, Hollywood, son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Bring us right up to the top of the hour. That is Kansas and Carry On, Wayward Son. Listen to The Breakfast Show on 89.3 Cool FM. It is 8 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Fast and safe. Ship internationally to more than 220 countries and territories with DHL Express. Exporting or importing documents and packages has never been easier with blazing speeds and special promotions. Come visit our retail locations where packaging solutions from half a kilo up to 25 kilos are included at no additional cost. DHL Express. Excellent and simply delivered. Conditions apply.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alorica. Panamá.
Whoa! Valet Motors, best car service around Panama. What's that them? At 6431-0419. Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Absolutely. Great to be back with you this morning on The Breakfast Show. We're 17 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. We're on 89.3. Cool FM still to come. After our next piece of music, we'll check in with our intrepid outdoor reporter, Ingrid. And then we've still got to come. We'll be chatting with Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, here with us in The Breakfast Show studio.
You.
good morning, Jerry. Hey, Jazz, how you doing? You hear that sound? Yeah, that's the sound of progress. That's the sound of a generator having been run for 8 hours. Yes, we've been without electricity for 8 hours. This is what it feels like to go back to the Stone Age. So the electricity went out about 10:30. So we were able to get outside. Thank goodness it wasn't raining. Made sure the generator was all right, fired up, throw the switch so the house is being powered. But dang, it's been on for 8 hours. It's a long time without electricity, and it is sure is noisy. So I apologize for that noise. It is Thursday. It is... Let's go inside where it's a little less noisy. Here you go. Here, inside, where there's coffee. Yeah. Well, you know, that noise is something that you have to be thankful for, because out here in the hinterlands, we lose water and we lose electricity. Not every day, not all the time, but during a storm, somebody's tree falls down on somebody's line, and that kind of stuff just kind of goes poof, and next thing you know, we're sitting here without it. We're grateful that we have that. Having a generator has been a true blessing indeed. Well, I hope y'all are doing well. Today is Thursday, meaning tomorrow is Freaky Friday. Fun facts. I can't imagine what I'll be doing. I'll look at that, do my research tonight, and let y'all know first thing in the morning. Be glad when that sound stops, because I miss my peaceful, tranquil night. It's funny, I was watching a movie with the cook, and next thing you know, the electricity goes off, and I'm like, it's pitch black. When the electricity's off here in Elvira, and I mean it's really off, it is like... You close your eyes, that kind of black night, darkness, you know, like, I hope you have your phone nearby, because I need to go find some kind of lighting equipment. Oh, my God, like a flashlight, and get myself outside to the generator. Other than that, it was a beautiful afternoon yesterday. We had a beautiful sunshine, kind of cloudy in the morning, and it went away, and it was gorgeous. It was hot and sunny. The cats were outside all lying down on the pavement trying to do a little sunbaking. And I think some of them got overcooked, because there's about 5 black ones out there. Just kidding. All right, just kidding. Oh, my goodness. I'm cracking myself up this morning. Just kidding. No, just kidding. Anyway, all right. You guys be safe, and... Hopefully, we'll get out of this electrical problem shortly. All right, so back to you in the studio.
It's electric.
You can't see it.
It's electric.
You gotta feel it.
It's electric.
Make the deal with the public, let's admit it. She's a moving little electric.
There we go, yes, at least Marcia Griffiths has got electric. That's the electric slide. Keeping on time, 27 minutes, that's after the hour of 8 o'clock here on The Breakfast Show. I tell you what, today is Thursday, so we're coming up, aren't we, to the weekend. Well, I tell you what, a fun place to go and have a drink, Frank's Place. That is over there in Plaza Downtown in Costa del Este. And Frank's after office from Tuesday to Friday. This is from 4 to 7pm. 2-for-1 drinks. National beers, sangria, mojitos, margaritas, caipirinhas, house wines and spirits. You can follow them on Instagram at Frank's Place Panama. At Frank's Place Panama. Okay? And if you want to make a reservation, 394-6998. Great food. They've got things like delicious pastas. They've got brick oven pizzas, gluten-free and vegetarian options. They also are pet-friendly. Let's say, follow them. Instagram at Frank's Place Panama or call on 394-6998. 394-6998. And if you want to make a reservation, don't forget, by the way, if you're in a barrio and you're not going towards Costa del Este, pop into the Wallace. Tomorrow is Friday. What do we have on Friday? We have fish and chips. Of course we do. They are. That's in Avenida San Juan Luis. With me right now, it's great to welcome back to the key to the studio. Alex is always with us when he's not busy doing something else. And I know he's going to be busy doing something else next week because he told me he's going on a trip. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
And how are we?
We're very well, thank you.
Good. Or as Her Majesty sings, it's the Jubilee. One is doing very well, thank you.
I was thinking of those fish and chips. I wonder if they come in the original newspaper.
They don't come in the original newspaper, but they do come in a sort of like a newspaper grid. Because in actual fact, I mean, it is a bit of a... because when we did used to have fish and chips in ye olde days, wrapped in newspaper, mm-hmm. they did have greaseproof paper in between the two. So otherwise, you've got to read your fish as well. Because you know? In those days, it wasn't like now. Some of the print now, you know, it doesn't come off. But in those days, it would just come off the paper.
Yeah, and it would stink even more. What you read on the news, I mean.
but I was remembering. I remember going with my dad once to... I can't remember, we were near a park, so we went in, got some fish and chips, and sat there in the park, eating the fish and chips. Oh, lovely. Now you make me hungry. So, what is new in the world of technology? I mean, I've been watching some of the, you know, of course, with our friend Elon Musk, he's always in every day. And there was a piece this morning about, apparently he's got this sort of lawyer who is really sort of, you know, like an alligator. He will devour, like one guy said, you know, most lawyers will stab you in the back. This guy just stabs you in the chest.
Oh, well, I think Elon Musk, technology-wise, has gone from being like... you know, our real-world version of Tony Stark, Iron Man, to the real-world version of technology's Paris Hilton. He's just famous for being famous or whatever.
And he moves markets by just talking.
Yeah, or rambling or babbling or whatever it is he does. Mm. So, yeah, I think, I hope eventually, you know, people start paying more attention to what comes out of his factories than what comes out of his Twitter account.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course there's some doubt on that now because he's sort of been casting dispersions and so on. But we'll see. I mean, if I was in his place, I mean, they're talking about a lot of money, $44 billion. I'd probably wake up one morning and say, God, I must have been drunk last night.
Did I just buy Twitter or something?
Damn, what did I do? How do I get out of this? I know.
it's funny because, I mean, you and I, we get into trouble. It costs us money. He gets into trouble. It makes him money. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And he makes a lot of other people money. Hey, talk about making money and losing money. The cryptocurrencies are taking a bashing, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And I think part of the problem is the fact that, and this is something that you and I have discussed a lot in the past, just like when you talk about how things like futures trading and things like that ruined the purpose of the stock market at some point, and you know, the purpose of buying and selling things like fuel, that, you know, things that you can have in your hand that are concrete, that are real. When speculation started, you know, creeping in, the whole market situation became basically just a giant lottery. And unfortunately, that seems to be some of what's been happening with cryptocurrency. I, for one, use things like Bitcoin and Ethereum and so on as a means of payment. And unfortunately, all this speculation going around makes it so that it's more difficult for people who are really trying to do positive things with, you know, cryptocurrency. So I hope it recovers, definitely. I mean, we do have to have some form of digital currency that's, you know, usable and stable and, you know, good for transactions and things like that. We do need to break the monopoly that banks and other financial institutions have on the way we use things like money. And there's a lot of stuff going on in, you know, the world of cell phones and computers and things like that. For example, the latest versions of iOS and Android have better support for integrating things from your real wallet onto your phone. I mean, when you leave your home right now, you usually take two things, and if you don't have them, you go back and get them, like your phone and your wallet. But in this case, for one, you know, this is the first time it's happened to me in a long time, I left home without my phone.
What?
Yeah, but I do have my wallet. Unfortunately,
but you can't Twitter with a wallet.
No, I can't. I can't. I just, you know, go up to people and follow them and
yes, in real life,
tell them, you know, what I have.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'll tell them what I have for breakfast and things like that. But one of the things that both Apple and Google are trying to do is to help people replace a lot of the stuff that they have on their wallet, on their physical wallet, and put it on their phones. For example, the latest versions of iOS's wallet, Apple Wallet, and the Google Wallet, are allowing you to upload things like your driver's license and your ID onto the phone in an official way, so that you can, you know, identify yourself and pay for things on your phone more easily than you can right now. I mean, I, for one, have some of my cards and things on the phone, and it's great to go places where that is accepted and commonplace and usable and so on.
It's not here, is it?
That's the irony. For example, I can get my boarding pass for my trip next week on my phone, and it will be accepted pretty much everywhere else in the world, except here. I still have to print out the boarding pass and show it, which is ironic.
But that's strange, because I mean, I've had flights which have originated from here, and I haven't had to show anything. I've just gone up and gave them my name and whatever, and
you're a celebrity. But you know, being real for a second, What airline was it? Oh, that's odd. Because, for example, I went on the website and it said, you know, you need to show the boarding pass, the physical one or whatever. So, yeah, I hope that gets implemented the sooner the better, not only for the boarding pass, but also for things like the QR code for your vaccination status and things like that. I hope it gets better implemented in more places.
I tell you what, because we're going in July, we are going up to the States, and we're going over to Europe. And one thing that impressed me, I was on the Vacunas website, and there it was, the European passport for the European passport for COVID. Impressive, with the Panama and the European Union flags on there, and everything. I mean, that really has impressed me. It just goes to show we can do it if we want to do it.
Definitely.
Because it's not information which affects their money. You see, that's what it is. I mean, it's like there's a big thing in it now. Ifaru will not disclose how much money they've been spending. But it does really just go to prove, doesn't it? That, you know, because it happened quickly. I mean, they were on the ball. And, you know, I had a test. I was positive. And it was with a private company, and by the time they'd left, I got a message from a phone call from the Ministry of Health. You know, you proved positive, you go to the, do you need food? Is there anything that you need? And you know, that's damned impressive.
Well, I, for one, for example, when I got COVID a couple of months ago, I was feeling a little under the weather, and I went in for one of those drive-in tests and whatever.
And your car had it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I was just leaving, and it took me about half an hour to get to my back home and, you know, tell the people I was going to be with that I couldn't make it, that I would do it online. And before I got home, I got a call from, you know, the place, and they said, hey, you have COVID, whatever. And I also got that phone call a few minutes afterwards from the ministry. They never followed up on anything, or which is, you know, sad, because at least there was some effort. But I think they still have to work on their follow through. So maybe they can get a golf coach.
But that's when you move away from sort of the automated computerization to getting humans involved.
Not only that, I think at one point that you mentioned, and I saw that when I worked, you know, at City Hall. Once you take all the incentives for somebody to make, you know, money out of discretionary actions or whatever, if you automate and make it transparent, it gets done real quick and everything works and whatever. But the moment you have a place where somebody can make a decision whether it, you know, suits them or not, or, you know, they can get some benefit out of it, then everything breaks down and all the effort that you did, you know, gets thrown down the drain. So I think that in this particular case, an ounce of preparation is definitely worth a couple of hundred pounds of cure if you do things right from the beginning. Hopefully we'll see more of that as time goes on, but it's pretty slow, and it could be a lot faster.
As you mentioned, I mean, you can't, with your phones, I've not seen anywhere where you can make a payment with your phone.
Not here in Panama, but we have everything we need.
But the thing is, I mean, the phone's one thing because it's a it's on your person. It's probably, you know, it's probably secure. But one thing which I noticed, because I've now got one of these bank cards that is NFC or whatever, which is fine, but anybody could have it because nobody checks who I am.
That might be correct, but you have to take into account two or three things. First of all, there's additional security that we don't have here that they do have in the UK, and not from now, I mean from the beginning of the century, called chip and PIN, where you can show the card, but you have to have a PIN if the transaction is over a certain amount, for example. And we haven't implemented that for some reason. Now, if you have the card on your phone, in order for you to activate the card, you usually have to go through biometrics, either your face or your thumb. So there's that. You know, you could lose your phone.
It's more secure, I think, on the phone.
But
when I, you know, and I'll be perfectly honest, it's not everywhere. A lot of the places you give them the card and they can see your ID, which is great. That's a step in the right direction. But if I lost my wallet and they don't look at the picture very well, because it's probably got my my ID with it. But it does concern me a little bit, because if I did lose my card and somebody goes and they don't ask to see your ID, the transaction goes through. It seems much more lackadaisical than before.
A little bit. And you have to take into account that these cards are just a piece of plastic that you could, you know, put something over it and change the name to something else. And you could present, let's say, my card with an overlay that says Jerry D. And you show your ID. Your ID says Jerry D. The card says Jerry D. But it's Alex's card. And it will only show up as Alex's card on the receipt. So if you don't look at the receipt, there's not much you can do against, you know, that kind of identity theft. So I think, again, like you say, it's a step in the right direction, but we need to do it right in every step of the way in order for that to be really secure. And I think that having it on your phone, you know, adds an extra layer of security.
Got an email. Oh, Elon Musk. Elon Musk says, I went to the same school as Talitha in South Africa. Sorry. Talitha said, I went to the same school as Elon Musk.
Yeah, but she came out a much better person.
I think so as well. And she's going on to say, says that I've seen friends of mine from the USA use their phones to pay at restaurants in Panama.
They have? I'm going to look into that.
Okay.
Maybe the NFC on the phone does the job of talking to the terminal. So, I'll definitely look into that.
Okay. Now, I know one thing you want to talk about, because Apple have got their chip. No fish.
No.
Just the chip.
Yeah.
And the new AirBook, right?
A new?
AirBook, is it?
Oh, MacBook Air.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't know that, you know, no, Apple products so well, so no. Not.
Why do you wear a Mac? So, yeah, tell me about it.
Well, your favorite Mac is Mac and Cheese, but yeah. Apple started back in 2020 with their own chip. A chip that they had made, and it integrates pretty much everything, like the processor, the memory, the storage, just everything in a single chip. It's a little bit bigger, but since it incorporates all of it in a single place, it just makes it a lot more power efficient, a lot more efficient per se, a lot faster, and so on. It's like having all of, you know, a single company's offices in the same building instead of, you know, around town in several places. So it makes everything just work better. There are cons in the sense that, you know, if one part of the chip breaks or whatever, it, you know, the whole thing, you have to, you know, replace the machine.
Is this a chip which is doing everything, or is it segmented on the chip that does the jobs that the other chips would have done?
It's segmented. Mm. It's just integrated into a single, integrated unit that just works together a lot faster instead of, when you open up a computer, you see like a big processor and then some lines that go to the memory and some other electrical lines that go everywhere else to the storage. In this case, everything is just smooshed together in one place, and everything just takes a lot less time to travel from one to the other. And this translates into everything being a lot faster, dissipating a lot less heat.
I was going to ask you, I mean, surely if it's doing extra work, it's generating extra heat, isn't it?
It is, but in this case, since everything is together, it can use lower power to transmit things from one place to the other. So it needs a lot less heat dissipation. So that makes it a lot more efficient in many, many ways. Now, that being said, Apple does say that, oh, it's 30% faster than the previous model, it's 40% more efficient. And usually when you see these graphs, you see that they have no axes numbers or anything. They're just drawn, and you're expected to believe them and take their word for it. Leaks that have been come out from the first users of these devices that have been sent out for testing and so on do indicate that the M2 chip that they came out with recently is at least 20% faster and more efficient and so on than the previous generation of the M1 chip. That being said, there's also the M1 Pro, the M1 Pro Max, the M1 Ultra, which are bigger, faster, better versions. Even two of these chips smooshed together make an M1 Ultra. And so this right now is the best chip that you can buy on a computer for the low end. That would be a computer that you would use for standard office applications, a little bit of video editing, audio editing, things like that, enjoying multimedia stuff or whatever. And, for example, if you buy the lower end M2 right now, it's going to be faster than the higher end M1 from a year ago. But if you still do need things like, you know, heavy video editing and 4K video and 8K video and things like that, it's still a better choice to get an M1 Ultra or M1 Pro Max or whatever, because those are still faster and support more memory and more storage and so on. But this is kind of par for the course for most manufacturers that do this kind of a, they call it a tick-tock release schedule, where on one side, in the tick part of the cycle, they come out with, you know, something new for the lower end so they can get it out to the masses, make some money, and then maybe a year from now, they'll come up with, like, in September, they'll show them and then come out with them at the end of the year or beginning of 2023. They'll come out with bigger, faster, better versions of that M2 for the higher end, people who can afford to spend over $2,000 on a computer. But right now, for example, for just a little bit over $1,000, you get a pretty good machine that gives you 18 hours worth of battery life, and you get much faster video editing and audio editing capabilities and so on. It does come with, you know, a couple of less ports and a little bit less of storage or whatever, but it's a pretty capable machine. And this is making other manufacturers such as Intel and AMD and NVIDIA and so on scramble to see what they're going to do, because their architecture is a lot more difficult to make better than this. So they're working on stuff like, for example, something called chiplets, where instead of having this big, massive chip that does a lot of things somewhat well, they work on tiny chips, or in this case, chiplets, that do one thing, like, really, really well, and then integrate them in the same way that Apple is doing with their chips. So their approach is going to be probably a little bit more of a hybrid approach, where they integrate a lot of the smarts in the chip in this manner, but still have things like external RAM and storage and whatever. So you can add more storage in the future or change the storage more easily. But it's going to be interesting to see how this affects the rest of the market. And the interesting part of it, all of this started way back when. I mean, you probably remember the old BBC Micro with, you know, the computers that they had in the UK with the ARM processor.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, this is something that began a long time ago, making these very highly integrated, very smart chips, very well-built chips, as opposed to what we use today in machines like the, you know, Windows machine or whatever, mm-hmm. which are these big, massive processors that integrate a lot of the technologies and the thinking behind what we used to think of as mainframes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting, I think we live in interesting times, you know, CPU-wise and processor-wise and whatever. And a lot of this is going to come over to things like tablets and smaller devices as well. So I think the trickle-down effect of all of this technology evolving
We still, I can't remember the name of it, but this principle about memory and the principle about processing and whatever, we're still keeping within that. They said that it sort of grows exponentially every so often. And
it's called the Moore's Law.
That's the one, Moore's Law, yeah.
Where it used to be every 3 years, now every 18 months, now it's probably every year or so, that the processing power doubles.
Mm-hmm.
And we have hit a few bumps along the way. Things like better fabrication techniques and things like that have allowed us to go over these bumps on the road from time to time. But we're now hitting what's called a quantum level barrier, in the sense that if you make things small enough, they are so small that electrons can be at the same time here and there. And that's not good for computing, because you want them in a specific place. And the way around that has been to think of new ways of integrating these chips both horizontally and vertically in 3D, so that we can still double the amount of processing power every 18 months or so. But it's become more of an engineering challenge, and you know, there's a lot of science behind that and a little bit of art and ingenuity. It's really testing the edges.
Me.
Yeah. It's testing the frontiers of science pretty much every single day, because we are trying to cram more and more smarts into less and less space.
Oh. Yeah. It sort of goes, where do we end up?
Well, I think we end up in two little things that have been, you know, on people's minds this past few weeks. The first one being Google has suspended somebody in their company because they have called out the fact that their newest form of artificial intelligence, Lambda,
is sensitive or something.
It's sentient. The word is sentient. This is a term that is more familiar to people who are fans of science fiction. When something is sentient, or someone is sentient, you know, would be the more proper way to say it, is when some, you know, an entity is self-aware. It's aware of itself, its existence, and that its existence can end, and so on. This is something that we usually reserve for humans, and we sometimes have trouble understanding that there are other entities, such as some animals, that are sentient, that there are self-aware, and so on. And I've seen some conversations that people have had with this artificial intelligence, and it's eerie, in the sense that when you look at what the artificial intelligence is telling people and talking to people about, sounds like, you know, the curiosity and the mind and the personality of like a 10-year-old, but with the vocabulary of a university professor, in the sense that I've seen conversations with that Lambda engine that, you know, you say, hey, tell me a story and make it about, you know, animals or whatever, and it tells you a coherent story. And then you ask it, what do you think the story means? And it says, well, I think that the main character and so on, and you ask it about things like, did you read Les Miserables? And the entity will say, yeah, I read it, and I found this guy's, you know, role in, you know, in this manner, and I thought this signifies this and that and whatever. And it's eerie because even if it isn't yet sentient, it just feels like it's becoming more and more self-aware than maybe it should at this point in our evolution mm-hmm. as humankind. Not it. I mean, our. Are we ready for our machines to actually have some sort of a conscience? And for one, it's a good thing that this Lambda engine does sound like an optimistic, positive, curious 10-year-old.
But just sort of quickly looking on YouTube to mm-hmm. see, there's one here. It says that Google's artificial intelligence reveals the purpose of life before it's switched off.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. I mean, I see it as a curious, optimistic 10-year-old that's, you know, wants to know what the world is out there, what the world out there is like. But you and I know, because we've been in a playground as 10-year-olds, how mean some 10-year-olds can be. There was a...
Well, they're not necessarily mean, they're just honest.
And that's kind of the problem. So, for example, there was one attempt at a tweeting artificial intelligence by Microsoft that when people started tweeting to it and messaging it, it started learning from what it got and it started tweeting out racist and hateful content because of what people taught it.
It's the same with children. Children aren't born racist. They pick up the knowledge from their friends or their parents.
And that's my concern. Children take years to become hateful people.
Mm-hmm.
Computers can do it over a day
mm-hmm.
now. But mm-hmm. it could be over a second, you know, a couple of years down the road. So are we good enough as humanity, as parents, to some other form of life? I don't think we are. I think we're teenagers.
We have enough problem with ourselves exactly. without having to deal with other people.
I think humanity right now is at some sort of an adolescent stage and is not ready to be a parent to another species right now. That's my concern. I mean, I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think we're ready for that yet. We may be ready down the road, but, you know, is anyone ready to be a parent at any point in their life? That's debatable.
Mm.
But I think we should proceed with a lot of caution.
I mean, one thing, because we were talking about memory and how it expands or whatever, are there any sort of experiments in establishing the kind of, if you like, chemical processor, which is what our brain is. Our brain works on chemicals and current, as opposed to hardware per se. I mean, when you think what the brain is capable of, which is still exceeding computers by a long way, not necessarily so quick, but I mean, because sometimes I think that we were probably built by somebody else.
Well, they made a lot of mistakes, like, for example...
Of course they did. That's the best way.
who puts a recreational area next to a toxic waste dump? But
apparently in Norbrook they haven't picked up the rubbish yet. You know?
But my concern is, are we really ready to, you know, go forward in this regard? Because these artificial intelligence systems... While they do use silicon to emulate what we do, not only with chemistry, but even quantum mechanics, if you get down to the brass tacks, are we ready to understand that this is going to be a likeness of ourselves and that we may be projecting our own, not only hopes, but also hopes and dreams, but also fears and biases on whatever we develop? I think we should really be careful about this and proceed with a lot of caution. Not to stop. I mean, we do, you know, need mm-hmm. to go forward, but we need to be very careful about what we do. It's like, you know, having that talk with your children about responsibilities of adult life. Well, we need to, you know, talk with ourselves about responsibilities of, you know, developing something.
I think we've got a way to go ourselves. Because we still can't get the cars to drive properly yet without anybody in. So I think there's still a hope for us.
There is. And I think that there's a lot of hope for us, for example, in artificial intelligence to help us do things like make the car smarter about what you're driving so that you don't crash as easily or whatever, but you're still driving the car. eventually getting into a car will be like getting into an elevator. You don't tell the elevator how to go up and down or whatever. You just expect it to do what it's supposed to do. And that will come at some point in time. And getting into a car with a human driver will be as quaint as getting into an elevator with a human operator.
I remember those days well.
I remember when you could go places, and there are still places around the world where you have a bathroom attendant, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Can I hold that for you, sir? Oh, my towel, thank you.
Yeah. So, breath mint? Yes, you're standing too close. Thank you. So, yeah, it's interesting. And speaking of also, you know, doing things that we don't necessarily want to do, Apple is being forced to use USB-C by Europe. This time next mm-hmm. year in mm-hmm. Europe. And I think it just took a long time. I mean, the Lightning port on some of these devices, because Apple does have a USB-C on, like, higher-end iPads mm-hmm. and their mm-hmm. MacBooks, but the Lightning port is so outdated. It came out over mm-hmm. 10 years mm-hmm. ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was helping somebody get some photos off of their iPhone the other day, and it just took forever because it was like 60 gigabytes worth of photos off of a USB 2 connection, which is the Lightning connection. Mm-hmm. It took over 2 hours to make a backup of that phone. So, and it would take 5 hours just to get the pictures out, just to get the pictures out if you just wanted the pictures. I made a full backup of the phone, and that was it. But they need to change that.
So USB-C port is quicker?
About 10 times or more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
so they come up with these super-duper chips, but they can't improve the...
It's actually sometimes faster to move the pictures off of your Wi-Fi than it is through a wire, ironically, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. because it's such a slow mm-hmm. method of communication. So I hope that they do change that soon, because it's really impractical to have a phone that does 4K and 8K video, but then when you want to take that photo or that video mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. it takes you 2 hours to get out a half an hour video.
So you think that the necessity to comply with Europe will make them go in that direction?
I hope it does. For their sake totally? And for their users' sake.
Okay. All right. And on that note, we have to call it a day.
Alex,
and you are going to be in Brazil next week.
I will.
Nice. What are you going to be doing?
I will
sunbathing?
Be...
Sunbathing?
No.
No.
No. Okay. I will be talking to different companies and so on about topics that have to do with mergers, acquisitions, and divestitures. Not the financial or commercial part, but mostly the fact that if you work for Company A and you need to start, you know, working for Company B because you were acquired, you need to migrate all of that information from one place to the other. And it's usually a complicated process that can break in many ways. And one of the things that I do for a living is help these companies do these migrations a lot faster with no interruption, with zero impact.
As long as they're not using the cable from Apple's phone.
Exactly.
Alex, as always, great to have you with us. Sorry you great won't be with here. Us next week, but we'll look to seeing you when you get back.
Hope to be here.
Dr. Computer, Alex Newman with us this morning here on The Breakfast Show. Always great when we have him here in the studio. And that has brought us to, well, exactly, the top of the hour.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio. Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usted encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Fast and safe. Ship internationally to more than 220 countries and territories with DHL Express. Exporting or importing documents and packages has never been easier with blazing speeds and special promotions. Come visit our retail locations where packaging solutions from half a kilo up to 25 kilos are included at no additional cost. DHL Express. Excellent and simply delivered. conditions apply.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alórica. Panamá.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Perfect paradise, tearing at the sea.
There we go. Yes, bring us into this hour. Imagine Dragons and Bad Liar. Time on the Breakfast Show, 22 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Got a couple of requests to get through, and then we'll be linking up with Yasmin, or just going down the corridor to see Yasmin. And I know she's got a couple of tracks for this day in music as well. But starting off with the first of those requests, good morning to Christopher. Christopher Boatman. Good morning to you, Christopher. Says, good morning, Jerry D, Yasmin, and listeners. You ask, could we please hear Cloud Nine by The Temptations?
Childhood part of my life wasn't very pretty. See, I was born and raised in the slums of a city. Was a one-room shack that slept in of a chair beside me. We hardly had enough food or room to sleep. It was hard time. Needed something to eat my troubled mind. Listen, my father didn't know the meaning of work. He disrespected mama and treated us like dirt. I left home seeking a job that I never did find. Depressed and downhearted, I took the cloud nine. I'm doing fine up here on cloud nine. Listen, one more time. I'm doing fine up here on cloud nine. Folks down there tell me, say, give yourself a chance, son. Don't let life pass you by. But the world of reality is a rat race where only the strongest survive. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and that ain't no lie.
Ain't no lie.
It ain't even safe no more to walk the streets at night.
I'm doing fine on cloud nine.
Let me tell you about cloud nine.
Cloud nine.
You can be what you want to be.
Cloud nine.
You ain't got no responsibility.
And
tell you what, it's one of those tracks. I played it then and I'm playing it again. I remember playing that back in 1968, 1969, and that's when it was released, in actual fact, October of 1968. Cloud Nine, and that was a hit single for The Temptations on the Motown label. First, by the way, of the singles to feature Dennis Edwards instead of David Ruffin in the lineup, and was the first of producer Norman Whitfield's psychedelic soul tracks, and won Motown its first Grammy Award, by the way. The song was written by Whitfield and former Motown artist Barrett Strong. Good choice, Christopher. Enjoyed that one. Mary Lou. Mary Lou's our next one on the list. She drops a little line. So these came in when we were chatting with Dr. Computer. Mary Lou, well, wishes everybody a good day. Have a great day. Have a great Thursday. And asked if we could play a song which I guess would be about a man who went to see the optician, really. It's from Jackson Brown. Doctor, my eyes.
Thank you.
I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eyes tell me what you see. I hear their cries. Just say if it's too late for me.
There we go. Ah, doctor, my eyes. Well, how's that now?
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a
couldn't resist it, I'm afraid. Doctor, my eyes. Followed by Jimmy Cliff there, and I can see clearly now. Time on the Breakfast Show. We are exactly 27 and a half minutes, and that is before the hour of 10 o'clock. I'm going to take a little trip down the corridor, see what's going on down the other side of the studio. It's been quite a long way. I get a bit of exercise when I do this, so it's not too bad. Good morning, Yasmin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. You've been busy this morning, typing.
Yes, crazy.
Crazy, good. There you go. Sounds like the two of us, really, isn't it? Crazy. So how was yesterday?
Well, very nice. First of all, I went to that fair at the convention.
In
Amador.
Mm-hmm.
And this was organized, or Stratego is the agency who invited us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was organized by Prom Tour Panama. And this was kind of fair just about tourism companies.
Oh, okay.
So they had beautiful stands from different countries because mm-hmm. this is an international event. And they had different stands mm-hmm. showing their tourism proposals to other companies. So the stands were very, very attractive. We got a lot of photos and videos, and we had a lot of
great.
Fun. Yeah. And this is the... Let me tell you a little bit about it. This is the Fiexpo Latin America. Today is the last day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had more than 860 visitors, including specialized professionals and international buyers from markets such as the United States, mm-hmm. Canada, mm-hmm. Europe, and Latin America. The three consecutive years, Panama will be the host country of this fair, which responds to the strategy implemented by PromTour Panama to attract the country through its incentive plan, world-class international events. So for the next 3 years more,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have this kind of event.
Excellent. And that was at Amador.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
at the conference center.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been there yet.
Oh, really?
No.
I sent you an invitation for what was it? It was something about tourism too.
Okay.
What was? I forgot.
No.
So you didn't go.
Better not. But how is the conference center?
It's huge and it's beautiful.
Oh, good. A bit like me, really.
They have a lot of rooms. It's a huge place. It's very nice.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. I must go on. Because the thing is, it's not something you can just go along and have a look in, is it? It's got to be open.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm. Yeah, they should have an event or something. Yeah. But a good parking, so everything is perfect.
You know what would have been good to put in there as well?
Mm-hmm.
A theatre.
Yeah.
That would have been nice if they put that in there. But yeah, oh good. I mean, we really do have a good conference center, so there's no excuse for people not coming here anymore.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's great. So, mm-hmm. And where did you go after that?
And after that, we went to...
Such a busy girl, didn't you?
Yeah, that was in a specialized kitchen here at a Sortis Hotel.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the Abrahamson method.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you before.
Oh, that's right, no sugar.
Exactly.
And sweet.
Abrahamson was a doctor from Israel.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's still alive, but his method was about the energy, the human energy, you know. The origin of the addictions is our energy. That was his theory.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when somebody have this kind of addictions of tobacco or sugar,
mm-hmm.
is an energy imbalance. So they try to fix that with this therapy,
mm-hmm.
which change your energy using stones and things like that. So everything is about our energy. They use some stones, and what it happens, it prevents the consumption of refined sugar or tobacco. Just refined sugar, because you can consume sugar from natural sources,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
fruits mm-hmm. and things like that. But the refined sugar is the one that is very bad. It's very addictive.
Oh, okay.
So, let me tell you a little more.
So, are you not taking sugar anymore now?
Not today.
Just today. All right.
Just the fruit that we got from Christina. Thank you very much, Christina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get looked after,
don't
we? They
were very sweet.
Oh, yeah. They're like me.
So, yeah, the main idea is that the taste buds mm-hmm. adjust to the changes. And in a month, you already take a liking to anything. They had some people that already got mm-hmm. this therapy, and they were telling their their experience, how it works and everything. Of course, at the beginning, everybody were like, this sounds weird, with the stones and energy, you know, like a weird story. But they said it really works. So...
So that's it. So they stopped taking sugar and started smoking?
No.
No?
No. But I don't know. For me, it's not that hard, you know, because during the pandemic, I stopped. For example, I used to drink coffee with 3 teaspoons of sugar.
Yeah, well, I did when I was young. Well, I used to have three teaspoons of sugar.
During the pandemic, I stopped that. I use just one right now. So it's just something, you know, you can change your own mind by yourself. Just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not so good because, well, I mean, I use Splenda, which for me is because I still do miss the sweetness, I must admit. But one thing, because, I mean, I smoked when I was young, and, you know, I smoked right through, but I didn't find it hard to stop smoking. I was one of these people anyway. I didn't have to have a cigarette, but I used to, when I did have a cigarette, I used to enjoy it. Normally when I'm socializing or whatever. But if I was doing things like working on my car and I was occupied, I didn't smoke. So it was something which I didn't have, if you like, an addiction, but it was something I enjoyed.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too difficult for me to stop. But on the other hand, Neil, who is quite a heavy smoker, he
can't stop.
And I mean, believe it or not, well, there was a time when cigarettes were more expensive than fuel, but that's not anymore.
Oh dear.
So, that's good then. So that was a rewarding day. What have you got for today then? Are you just going to lie down because you don't have any energy?
Well, no, today is exercise day.
Oh, there you go then. Right, yeah, good. I'm glad about that.
I was too busy today, so I couldn't do it.
Oh, well, yeah, good. I thought I was a bit tired today because I didn't exercise yesterday then. Hey, you got a couple of this day in music. What do you got for us? What's our first one?
Okay, let me go there. The first one is James Smith.
Okay.
Singer with the Philadelphia soul group, The Stylistics, who had the 1974 U.S. number 2 single, You Make Me Feel Brand New, and the 1975 UK number 1 single, Can Give You Anything But My Love, and 12 consecutive US R&B top 10 hits.
Okay, and I'm going to play the one that, well, you do. You Make Me Feel Brand New.
Gratitude and love. out and made me sure you gave my pride back to me. Precious friend, with you I always have a friend. You're someone who I can depend to walk a path that sometimes bends.
Without you,
it, You Make Me Feel Brand New from the Stylistics. That's the first of Yasmin's at This Day Music. Actually, well, just quickly, I want to remind you about the British Chamber of Commerce. They've got a business lunch, and that is on the 28th of June of this year at the Bristol Hotel, midday, and it's all about Ukraine awareness. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They've got an ex-SAS guy talking, Robin Horsfall. And he was a member of the SAS counter-terrorism team that assaulted the Iranian embassy in London back in 1980, helping to rescue the 19 hostages that had been held there for 6 days. That was quite something to watch. They showed it live on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of got onto the roof, and they sort of had the ropes, and they just swung down and went straight through the windows.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. really quite something. He's going to be one of the speakers. Also, Jorge Olague is going to be talking. He's the Deputy Director of Private Sector Resources and Partnerships. And also a special guest, Oksana Dramaretska, Ukrainian Ambassador to Mexico. They're going to be talking about Ukraine awareness, is what it's about. I say that's at the Bristol Hotel, 28th of June, from midday. It's going to be in English. If you want tickets, you can get in touch with 381-1300 or admin@britcham.com.pa. All right, members, $55. Non-members, $65. But that's something worth mm-hmm. going along to, mm-hmm. if you're interested in what's going on. There you go.
Exactly.
And, yeah. So, oh, and the other thing, of course, is don't forget our friends at Encuentro Anticuatro. Because did you know, if you've got a car for sale, yes,
mm-hmm.
you can sell it in 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Very unlikely, but mm-hmm. they do say every 6 minutes someone buys a car on Encuentro 24, and you've got more than 5,000 cars to pick here in Panama. So do it quickly, because they go fast. Encuentro 24, you publish it, they buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go, little commercial break. Oh, let me see. What else are we going to say about? No, I think that. Oh, I tell you what is coming up. We've got a street party on Saturday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's at, that's going to be at Multi Plaza. Mm-hmm. Starts at 1 in the afternoon mm-hmm. and goes through till 5. They've got all sorts of exciting things on. Mm-hmm. We'll give more details about that tomorrow. So make sure you stay tuned for what, where and when tomorrow. But you can make a note, Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and that's at the Luna Plaza, I think it is. Also. That's by Stevens, in front of Stevens. If you know where Stevens and Starbucks is, it's going to be in that plaza there. So mm-hmm. do pop along. Have fun.
Yeah, tomorrow I give you more details, because I saw the calendar they post. At each hour they have different activities.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they've got like a tribute of Queen,
mm-hmm.
Freddie Mercury Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got some great things, great British music and that. And I shall go along as well.
Exactly, we are all going.
Yeah, we're going to be mm-hmm. there. We're going to show off. I shall wear my Union Jack waistcoat, yes.
Okay.
lovely. And your next piece of music?
The next one is Gary Roberts. He was born in 1954, guitarist with the Boomtown Rats, who had the 1979 UK number one single, I Don't Like Mondays, plus 10 other UK top 40 hit singles.
And none of us like Mondays, do we? Even me. It always sort of takes me a long time to get started on a Monday. Here it is, Boomtown Rats, and I Don't Like Mondays. Town Rats, and I don't like Mondays. We like Fridays, don't we? Yes.
I like Mondays too.
Oh, you please. Tomorrow is Friday. Anyway, look, have a great day, Yaz.
Thank you too, and everyone.
And I look forward to my exercise. So, yes, extra workout, all right?
Yes.
And yes, indeed, we will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday, so we have things like Freaky Fun Facts Friday tomorrow, and also Yasmin of What, Where and When, and no doubt a couple more pieces of Born This Day in Music. And take us out of this morning's program. Train, AM Gold.
If he don't love you no more, she don't love you no more, they don't love you, then you love yourself and turn around. If he don't love you no more, she don't love you no more, they don't love you, then you love yourself and turn around.
That's it, that's Train, AM Gold. And that has brought us to the end of this morning's breakfast show. Gosh, time just goes so fast when we're having fun. Well, I am at any rate. So that's it. Big thanks go out this morning. Big thank you to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, with us today, discussing all sorts of things, including things like artificial... let's get the wording right. Artificial... AI, you know what I mean. Right. I was going to use the wrong word. Right, that's it. A big thanks to Alex. And also, of course, a big thanks to Yasmin here in the Breakfast Show Studio, doing all the work there in the background, as well as, you know, keeping us all up to date on all sorts of things. And this day in music as well. A couple of great tracks. And artificial intelligence. There we are. Not insemination. Artificial intelligence. Right, now, a big thanks to my co-producer, Neil Danby, to our intrepid outdoor reporter, Ingrid, and don't forget Freaky Fun Facts Friday tomorrow. And also a big thanks to Boys and Girls of Cooper Grove to keep us up and running, and to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. Want to join us? Just give Yasmin a call on 223-5162, or you can WhatsApp us on 677-188-22. Alright, tomorrow morning, it is Friday, 6 o'clock, I'm going to be here bright and early, as usual, and hopefully you will too. Just please remember, whatever it is you're doing between now and then, do it carefully, alright? Remember, want to be talking to you tomorrow, not talking about you. So, from me, Jerry D, till then, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby. The Breakfast Show was brought to you thanks to Imprenta 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.